Hello and welcome to episode 21 of the Flying V Anaheim Ducks podcast here on the Believe Podcast Network, Southern California's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in Southern California and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? So yeah, it's episode 21. Kent and I are here on remote for this episode. The Ducks have really turned things around the last week. Looks like things are starting to trend in the right direction, I think. But before we get started with that, Kent, how are you doing?
Hey, Anthony, doing well. Thanks, man. Yeah, we're both battling some children sleep disruption here. It sounds like you've been up a couple nights, and yeah, our youngest has been battling some coughing in the night too. So we're both going to battle and stay awake here and persevere through this. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Sorry to hear that. I hope they're feeling better. Being a new dad on my part, it's really amazing how long it takes a child to kick a cold, but yeah, ours is still having a couple coughing fits. So 3:30 a.m. wake up for me last night, and then for yesterday morning and this morning, I guess, and then 5:30 a.m. as well. So dad definitely had a couple extra cups. I had my cup of Huskins coffee that I brought home early this afternoon. So yeah, let's get into it. The Ducks have seemingly, I think, turned a corner. Even if they haven't, they won, maybe gone 6-2-2 or 4-2-2 in their last few games. They beat Ottawa, lost in overtime to Montreal and Toronto, and beat Buffalo for a pretty successful road trip, I would say. And if you count the Kings victory they had, that was technically away. That's definitely a good road trip. I think there's some signs of improvement and confidence from the rookies. I also think the goaltending has improved. So definitely a good two or a good week for the Ducks. What was your opinion, first of all, for the road trip in general, and then getting into Ottawa?
Yeah, I think the level of play has been there over time, like over the course of this year. For the majority, I think they've played well and just been on the wrong end of just a couple lapses here and there, or a couple I don't know what you want to call it, bounces, or just kind of just being on the wrong end of a lot of 3-2 games. So to see them kind of flip the script and get a couple of shootouts and have some success on the road, at least playing well throughout regulation and not necessarily getting rewarded for that in the first 60 minutes, but getting that extra point in bonus time and shootout, those are always 2 points is 2 points, the way things are structured. So I think their level of play has been consistent, and now you're finally starting to see a little bit of some dividends, and those can kind of start to get some confidence rolling. And it's nice to see them, their hard work and just the effort that's been put forth consistently through this year, get some reward from that. So it's been good.
Yeah, specifically against Ottawa, it's a team they should have beat. They were, in the overall NHL standings, the Ducks are I want to say 5 or 6 points above the Senators, and I really think once you start winning those games that you're probably favored to win, that's the first of all. I know the NHL is a good league, but that's your first step to, getting enough points, compiling enough points to compete for a playoff spot. It seems obvious, but I think it's been inconsistent for the Ducks this season. I like Gibson's performance against the Senators. It was a 30-save performance. He looks like he's finally starting to get back into it. And the contributions from the young players, Sam Steele, I believe he had a nice assist in that game, and then Jones as well, Max Jones with getting in on the action. So I think overall a good performance looking all the way back to that Ottawa game. Montreal, I thought specifically, was pretty interesting to me. I think the first thing we spoke about, kind of players scouting goalies and stuff like that. Did you notice that the power play goal that Nick Suzuki scored And then the Batherson goal for Ottawa, both on the power play, both come from that kind of top of the circle, but they're not one timers. They're kind of like very quick, hard wrist shots. But I thought it was interesting that they were so similar looking. What were your impressions for the Montreal game?
Yeah, I thought that is it Batherson? That was a nice play, a nice kind of delay and drag, and he snapped that one pretty nicely there. It looked like that went far side. I didn't catch where the Suzuki goal went in, but yeah, just a quick release and just getting those shots. Even if you can get a little zip on them from up there with traffic, you never know what can happen. So, yeah, I think it's a great point about the Ottawa game. I think when, like so often, and why it's so hard to gain any ground in the standings, in addition to the fact of the three-point game, which we could have my dad on. I know he listens to this. I have my dad on talking about the three-point games in the NHL, but and yeah, just the parity that creates, and it's hard. You have to go on a lengthy run and string like 10 wins together to get anywhere in the standings. But yeah, that's always kind of the tough thing is it's easier to get up for the teams that ahead of you, and you know you have to bring your absolute best, and everyone's ultra focused. And then the next night you have a team, you're playing a team like an Ottawa or someone like that, where guys at this point of the season are trying to play for contracts for next year, or trying to impress the coach to set the table for themselves or other people in the organization to put themselves on the map from a depth perspective and kind of embed themselves in the plan moving forward. So, and from what I hear, it's been a tough year in Ottawa, but it looks like the coach DJ Smith, it sounds like they're kind of starting to lay a pretty nice foundation there as far as kind of a compete and a workman like attitude, and bringing that work ethic that always kind of, once you can kind of get that cemented in and get everyone to buy into that, which it's not easy, especially when you're not, when the wins aren't coming and the games don't really mean much, have any implications for playoffs or in the standings. But it sounds like they're kind of on the right track there. And with some good young players like Brady Tkachuk, like you mentioned, and a couple others. I know Duclair is having kind of a renaissance of his career, always a good player that was kind of passed around through a few organizations, and seems like he's found a nice home there in Ottawa. So a team to watch, but a team that, yeah, below the decks in the standings, and you'd hope you could find a way to match their work ethic and exceed it. And yeah, I thought they played well that game. And Montreal, I thought they played really well. I thought they could have easily won that in regulation as well. And Price made a couple of five-star saves late to get that into overtime. And then Petrie had the nice rush up the ice and kind of a perfect shot to win it. But could have easily been another win from the Ducks, kind of just in a series of one-goal games the last four games. But yeah, I thought they played well in Montreal again. Could have easily won that one. So night in, night out, we're starting to see some better consistency, and yeah, things are progressing nicely, I think.
Yeah, especially against a desperate team like the Canadiens. I mean, this is really kind of their last chance to stay in the playoff race. They're looking like 8 points out of it. So it's a loss in that game would have been pretty devastating for their. I mean, they're already probably don't have great chances to make the playoffs, but definitely a desperate team in that one. Derek Grant, things are still going well for him. Kind of the controlled chaos in front of the net for his 12th goal of the season, where the puck just kind of bounces to him and he just slides it right in. So everything's going great for Derek Grant, which is great to see. I've now seen his name mentioned in a couple of potential trade rumors or discussions, one by Eric Stevens of The Athletic. It's unfortunate if he is going to be traded, because I mean, he's found really a home in Anaheim. We've mentioned that a few times, but it's continuing. I think he tied his career high with his 12th goal in Montreal. So that was good to see. And then the game winner for Jeff Petrie, I wanted to ask you this, you having been a longtime NHL defenseman, defending 2-on-1s has always driven me completely insane. I mean, the strategy, at least at the lower levels or even up into high school, is the defenseman takes the passing option and leaves the puck air to the goalie, which, I mean, I never understood that. I know you don't want the goalie to have to go side to side, and you want to have the goalie cut down the angle if he can early enough and really focus on one shooter. But giving a guy basically a free kind of semi breakaway, I never understood that. What are your opinions on just kind of defending that? And is it different? Do NHL coaches kind of give you a little more leeway depending on the type of player you are to defend 2-on-1s differently?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few, definitely a few schools of thought on it, even at the NHL level. I mean, I played for, let's see how many teams, 5 teams. And, yeah, I definitely, there's no kind of clear cut across the board philosophy. I mean, it always brought me back to my philosophy was always, that, yeah, there should never be, a pass across. That's kind of non-negotiable. There should absolutely never be a pass across, and basically any kind of, aside from that, you're trying to limit the quality of the scoring chance for the guy who has the puck. While basically my philosophy was to guarantee that pass could never get across. And then I think in the minors you can get away with like almost kind of baiting the pass a little bit and kind of leaving your stick in a position where you're almost kind of tricking the forward into trying to make that pass. Cause I know that probably from a forward's point of view, you have to know the player tendencies too, but the majority of players want to pass and everyone wants a tap in goal. So, tap and goals looks a lot better than trying to beat a goal, even in the AHL, kind of one-on-one. Goalies are so good without traffic. It's hard to beat them with a shot, even if it is one-on-one. So in the minors, you could get away with trying to bait the pass and kind of make them feel like that pass was there and just wait for them to pass across and then put your stick in the lane and deflect it. But in the NHL, guys are too good, and like stuff like that doesn't tend to work so well. So yeah, I think NHL, it was always yeah. I mean, I understand your point, but just from the kind of fundamental aspect, what always worked for me, what I was always, you kind of asked for feedback from the goalie too, what they want. And my highest percentage and highest level of success 2-on-1 was to take away the pass. And basically, I mean, within reason, I think, is the catch. Like, you can't obviously just, if the guy goes and stands on the boards, you can't just stand beside him and give the guy a breakaway. But within reason, make sure that pass can't get across and leave the goalie to have the shot. That was after trying everything. I mean, I had some teams that were preaching to the defenseman that, like, you had to slide. The slide always drove me nuts. I never liked the slide. maybe I was just no good at it, but I feel like I'd be sliding into the corner and then the guys would be on like a 2-on-0 in front of the net. Like, I don't know, not a fan of the slide or lying down or anything like that. But what always worked best for me was just the standard good positioning, try and stay in the middle and take away the pass and let the forward have the shot. Or if he's coming down on his off wing, try in some way, kind of manipulate him and trap him so he got the puck on his backhand, and then try and make a play on the backhand.
Yeah, so that's smart.
Those were my what worked for me over my career, but definitely there's no kind of right or wrong answer, I don't think. It's just kind of generally whatever works best for you. But back in your career, how would you play a 2-on-1?
Oh, I was actually only a defenseman my final year when I was 19 in boarding school, and I was just so in over my head that it was like if there was a 2-on-1, I was just selling out pretty much everywhere. But watching the games, I mean, it was like a yard sale sometimes. But watching the games, I like the slide. I mean, the slide looks good if it works out. I know I've seen Charlie McAvoy do it pretty well, but there's always that risk too that you slide into a goalie. Like you're paying attention to kind of three things at once: the puck carrier and the guy that you're trying to defend the pass, and kind of positionally where you are. You don't want to slide back into the goalie, and even worse than that, maybe slide back into the goalie and have someone kind of toe drag around you as you're just sliding away. I think you mentioned that, like, that is just the worst. I've seen that happen a couple times, and where it's just like, oh, how debilitating is that?
it's just horrible. Yeah, you just kind of fading away off into the corner. I think it's all about timing. It's the same thing. Like, I was never coached to slide. Maybe if you learn the slide as a kid and you kind of develop those instincts But yeah, I just felt you just make yourself so vulnerable to, and guys are so good that, I don't know. I didn't like it, but it works for some guys.
Yeah. So unfortunately the Ducks give up that early overtime goal on that 2-on-1. But then the next night they go and play in Toronto, which is, it was an interesting game. They went down three times, came back three separate times, once from two goals back. That game specifically, I think, is the one where they might have been able to mail it in. Maybe a lesser team or a lesser mentally tough team might have mailed it in, but they came back three separate occasions in Toronto, once from two goals down. You could see how fired up they were after Derek Grant scored that tying goal with the goalie pulled just in the last dying seconds of the game. Once again, Derek Grant gets another huge goal. But what were your impressions on that game specifically? You could tell the passion was there on the second game of a back-to-back. It was pretty impressive, I thought, even in an overtime loss.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to see. I think you love that, seeing that spirit and that compete level, even if, I mean, like we've mentioned, not really in the hunt right now for any kind of playoff spot. So the game, as far as standings or implication, but I mean, you're still an athlete, you're still a competitor, you still like should be playing with that fire every night. And it's great to see. And I think what we've come to expect from this group, I mean, they've done it all year. There's no quit. And I think that starts with the leadership and the pride and the professionalism and the elite athletes, they have, and like Ryan gets up, like kind of leading the way, and just, like I say, an elite level athlete and an elite level competitor. And that doesn't, where you are in the standings, that should not affect that. That's kind of, you should, like Jim Morris said, you should play to win the game, right? Like, or was that, no, that was the other guy.
It was Erickson. Was that Dennis Erickson? I think it was
Herm Edwards from You Play to Win.
No, I think you're right. There's all those, there's famous one. There's a play. Yeah, it was Herm Edwards. And then there's the playoffs. That's I think Mora and then there, and then who was the other? The last one. Oh, Dennis Erickson, I think, was the guy. We are who they are, who we thought they were, and just loses his mind.
Yeah. We got our quotes straight. So that was Herm Edwards. But yeah, you play to win the game. So that, I mean, that's, and then I think the coaching staff has done a great job of kind of keeping that the philosophy intact, no matter where they're on the standings or who they're playing against. So you can see the passion is there, and they're playing for keeps. They're playing to win, no matter what. So yeah, when they tie it up late, and that's great to see. And I thought that was a fun game to watch, and against obviously a talented team, and yeah, a lot of back and forth and ups and downs, and I thought that was a pretty good setup, like on the power play on the winning goal. Like, that's a pretty good 4-on-3 unit you're up against. So they made some pretty nice tic tac toe, nice play. Play by Marner, you have to see in slow motion to see how good it actually was when just kind of thread it through about two sets of legs right on the tape for a tap in. But yeah, I mean, entertaining game, and yeah, just another good showing by the Ducks, I thought, for sure.
I thought the overtime goal, Marner is turning out to be, I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody questioned, such a good investment for the Leafs. Both of his passes on their two of their goals, I think he made great passes on three of the Leafs' five goals, and that overtime one was unbelievable, right? Just under the stick of the defender, right to John Tavares. And Tavares basically just had to tap it in. I mean, that was such a good pass. I don't mean to kind of fawn over an opposing player, but Marner is just so good. It's unbelievable just seeing the way he plays.
Yeah, and playing under the weight of that, I mean, the contract holdout and like getting, like holding out for absolute maximum money, and just like you kind of leave yourself open. And if you're not producing at least as well as you have in the past, but the expectation is that it's going to get better. And so to kind of meet that standard and to be playing up to it this year, I mean, high marks to him for that, for sure.
It definitely doesn't hurt to have guys like Matthews and Tavares and Nylander and Kapanen out with you as well to pass it to him so they can finish. I mean, that's certainly part of it, but his just all around game has been so impressive. The one thing I wanted to ask you about in the Leafs game was the Derek Grant delay of game penalty. Did you get a chance to see that?
No, I missed that one.
So Derek Grant takes a pass. So the Ducks are killing a Leaf power play. This is with 4 minutes left in the first period. And Derek Grant just from basically the tops of the circle in his defensive zone, just 7-irons one all the way down the ice and over the end boards in the Leaf zone for delay of game penalty, which I thought, I mean, it's a kind of a blooper play. Derek Grant's been having such a great season that it's not like it's going to stand out as any sort of mark against him. But have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, this puck cleared the glass by a significant amount, and it was launched from no more than 20 feet in front of his own goal line.
Hey, well, I mean, that's impressive. That's like that's strength. I definitely wouldn't be the first time I've seen that, and I freaking hate that rule. I mean, I understand it, but just I always hated that rule, especially when you're the guy flipping one out, it gets caught in the curve or just kind of bad ice and jumps up on you and knuckles over the glass, especially when you're already killing, you go down 5-on-3. Yeah, I've got sympathy for that play. I mean, I hate the rule, but oh no, what was the thought behind that anyways? Like,
I think it's to
get yourself out of trouble and to get an easy whistle. So maybe that was, and safety too.
Yeah, I think with I remember, man, it must have been going on almost 20 years ago now, or 17 years ago, when the girl in Columbus was hit by I forget who shot that puck, but I mean, that was just a deflected shot. But I think it's mainly to keep teams from buying a whistle when they're hemmed in their own zone. If they can't, obviously they can't ice it to get out of it. So they try to lift the puck over the boards and increase offense by giving the other team a man advantage. So I see that. I see definitely the necessity for the rule. I can definitely also understand you as a defenseman in your career being in situations where you might want to flip the puck around the boards or something like that, and just having it go wrong. So I think defensemen specifically are maybe singled out by that rule, or not targeted, but disproportionately affected by that delay of game rule.
Well said. Well said. I agree.
Before we continue, I'd like to bring you some breaking news. This PSA, the pubic service announcement, is brought to you by Manscaped. Manscaped has a brand new trimmer, best on the market, third generation lawnmower 3.0 manscaping trimmer is now available for purchase. It has features such as ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. I know there's definitely been some close calls when I've been, working on my stuff down there. So with the lawnmower 3.0, you're not going to have that. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code BELIEVE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. And as always, your balls will thank you. And then moving on to Buffalo, once again, another, I think, statement game for the Ducks, as big of a statement as you can make at this point of the season and their position in the standings. But they win third game in four nights in Buffalo. They go out to a 3-0 lead and have to hang on, but they end up hanging on and winning. And I know Buffalo, reading the Buffalo Sabres Twitter, they were not thrilled with the line combinations, basically with everything that's going on in Buffalo. I don't know if you've heard about the fan rant that went out on the radio, and the team tried to basically suppress it, and that just ended up making it worse. So a little bit more salt in the Sabres wound, and we've also got Ryan Miller starting, I think it was his second game in a row, or second in three nights, which is unusual, but it was because it was in Buffalo, his former team. What were your impressions of the Sabres game?
I thought it was good on the boys there, jumping out to the 3-0 lead. I thought at least one of the goals was a little suspect, a little bit of a softy, but take those and you can get them. I mean, they've played well and not been rewarded for it, so I guess it's kind of the pendulum's hopefully going to start swinging the other way. But I mean, yeah, it's tough times in Buffalo. I know they got a diehard fan base, and I did hear the fan rant, and that's funny that the team was trying to suppress it. Why would you ever, like, you know, you're just going to make it worse if you try and do that. But I think it's just when you have expectations like that, and again, they had the hot start this year, and I know the Ducks played them early, and everyone was kind of buzzing on them, and they had the new coach everyone was excited about, and kind of a high-flying, high-octane offense. But you can just see there's kind of probably going to be another got to retool some things there a little bit, I think, as far as personnel, and maybe they're waiting on some more development. I don't think the skill level is definitely not the problem, and it sounds like from what I've heard of the coach, sounds like he's a great hockey mind as well. But I don't know, it's a tough league, and things don't always go as planned, and it can get away from you in a hurry, and it seems like it's kind of going down that path a little bit for them. And when you start, I mean, hearing a fan rant like that and talking about, when you start having fans kind of notice a lack of effort, that's when you kind of know things are bad. And I think lack of results is tough, but lack of effort. I mean, there's just no excuse for that as an athlete and as professionals, and it's kind of gotta make you cringe. And obviously, as the fans kind of watching that, if they can sense that, I would have kind of understand the frustration if you're that emotionally invested in it. In a team, I mean, as I was, and my buddies were growing up with the Senators, and they're in Ottawa. And, I mean, teams mean a lot, you know. So to have a lack of effort is just kind of the ultimate slap in the face, I think, as a fan. And I mean, hopefully they can get things turned around. But yeah, it's good on the Ducks. So jumping on them early and then hanging on, and cool for Ryan Miller. Always, like we say on here all the time, always plays well whenever he's in there, and I'm sure always great to get a win against the former organization, especially all the success and great times he had with the Sabres. So I'm sure that one was special for him, but great to see for the boys again.
You could see at the end of the game how excited he was once I think he made a kick save in the final seconds, and after the buzzer went off, he was just the horn went off, he could kind of did the fist bump. You could tell how psyched he was to get that victory. So happy for Ryan Miller in that game. And I guess final thoughts for the week. Overall, the team played really well, even if they didn't get wins in all the games. They got points, like we mentioned. The concerning thing that I've noticed is that penalty kill has started to go downhill. I think they took 16 penalties at least in the last four games. They allowed power play goals in all of them. I wonder if their success in scoring shorthanded goals, I think they're second in the league now, has kind of, we've spoke about this in other situations, but it's kind of incentivized them to take a little more risk when they're on the penalty kill. Is that something you've seen, or is just do you think it's a momentary dip in their just kind of some bad luck and anomaly even?
Yeah, I think there's kind of ebbs and flows, especially with the way video is in the modern day. NHL, everything's dissected so quickly. So if someone finds a hole in your PK and kind of exploit it, you know that everyone else sees that. Everyone else is going to be trying to do the exact same thing, whether that means it's kind of up the ice as far as kind of getting into the zone easier, finding a little kind of a setup or a break-in that's kind of other people have had success, so now everyone's going to be doing that. And then same thing, you know, it's a certain kind of sequence of passes or puck movement that's going to open up that point shot with some traffic that you've seen the other teams have success with, and then yeah, you can kind of start to see other teams, like it's such a copycat league that so yeah, I think it's just weaknesses and just kind of little hacks, I guess, for lack of a better word, on how to have success against a penalty kill. Other teams kind of latch onto that, and until you can kind of figure out a counterattack or a countermeasure to get things back to where they were when you were being successful. I think it just, you're going to have stretches like that where you're giving up a few. And I haven't noticed, any kind of high risk, constantly kind of blowing the zone, sniffing for offense. But it's hard to see with the camera angles always. Live games, a little easier to get a feel for that. But I wouldn't be too concerned. I think that it's just kind of part of the ebbs and flows, like I say.
Well, let's get on with the three stars. So in honor of the Oscars being held yesterday, we're going to talk about our three favorite sports movies. You want to lead us off?
No, I want to hear your three first, then I'll go.
All right, no problem. Obviously, the first one has to be Miracle. I mean, that was such a Came out when I was a senior in high school, and my high school team was having a really good season. And it's just such an inspiring movie. I think the scene that sticks out for me in that one specifically, I know all the hockey scenes are great. They were so well produced and realistic the way they shot those. It wasn't like, far be it for me to criticize an awesome movie like The Mighty Ducks, but it wasn't like The Mighty Ducks or Mighty Ducks 2, where you can tell that these aren't really hockey players. I mean, these were skilled hockey players that they were shooting with. So it was a great overall just hockey movie in terms of realistic hockey scenes. But my favorite scene was a flag football kind of Christmas dinner where they go to the coach's house. They have some food. They play flag football. And in the background is the President Jimmy Carter's speech, the crisis of confidence speech. I thought that was such I wasn't really a huge presidential history buff back then, but when I watch that scene, I get chills. I just think it's such a great combination of, I guess, of a speech and of a just kind of a guys having fun. So I thought that was Miracle is still my favorite sports movie. For the love of the game, the Kevin Costner, one of the later baseball movies where he's the Detroit Tigers pitcher and he throws a perfect game in Yankee Stadium, and it's kind of just going like flashbacks of his career. Really loved that one. And then the comedy Basketball by with Trey Parker and Matt Stone from South Park.
What a pick.
That movie is so good. It's just, it's so hilarious. It's one of those timeless movies where you look back, I just watched it a couple nights ago and I was like, man, they just nailed half of this stuff. Like, they have the scene where the football player is doing the river dance after they score a touchdown. Meanwhile, the opponent's getting carted off on a stretcher. Like, that pretty much nails the NFL right now to a T. I kind of feel like if you've ever seen the movie Idiocracy, it's like the sports version of Idiocracy. It's just so good and it stands the test of time. So those are my three. How about yours?
Oh, first of all, I thought Squeak Scolari in that movie. Yeah,
the little bitch Squeak Scolari.
That's a classic. That's a great call. My three, I don't know if I'm going to go with any hockey. There's just so many good, like, major league is just Bob Uecker is just the best all the time. Like, so funny, so many classic lines. I love major league. And then I always liked this movie, but I wonder if it's one of the ones where you go back and kind of watch now and it would be like so trippy and like, where were they going with this? But Field of Dreams, I always liked Field of Dreams, but I haven't watched it in a long time, so I'd be curious to kind of go rewatch that just to kind of see if it was as I know it's a classic, but if it's just how it would kind of hold up to the kind of modern day movies. I don't know, I got to give that one a rewatch, but always a classic. I always loved that one. And then, I don't know, a good third one. Man, I'm not going to top Basketball. That's too good. But we'll go with, I always loved Rudy. Just three classics, nothing fancy, but Rudy was just solid. Just another classic.
Absolutely. And I think Field of Dreams, I have a special place in my heart for that one as well. Growing up back in Vermont, we had a big field up in the behind our house, and my dad and I would play catch back there, and we called it the Field of Dreams. So and we both love that movie. So I think it's definitely still stands the test of time. I think it's a good one. Definitely some good choices there overall. And I think that's going to do it. Anything else you want to add?
That's good for me. We're good.
We can find and as always, you can find us on our social media accounts. You can find me at Deli Tweets on Twitter. That's DELLI_TWEETS on Twitter. And you can find Kent on Instagram at Husk HUSK_VERNA. And you can also find him at Huskins Coffee Shop in Santa Ana. I always stop by there. I've definitely been using their products to keep me awake over the last few weeks with inconsistent sleep overnight. But yeah, it's been a good one. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.